The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Now, joining me this morning is a young woman with a first-class attitude to life. Sarah O'Neill, good morning, and you're very welcome into the studio.
Thank you.
Sarah, I hate talking about ages, but I will say, tell everyone that you're 22 now.
Yeah.
But I want you to take us back to when you were 17 and the summer before you're leaving cert, and you're in school, and what happens? You're in fifth year.
So I had just finished for the summer, and I was having pain for a few months, and it was going on for about 5 or 6 months, and my mum had always said, do you need to go into the hospital? And I was like, no, it's fine. And then one night I was in bed and I couldn't breathe, and I was like, right, there's something wrong here. So I text her, and I was like, we need to go to the hospital tomorrow. And she says, no, we're going now. So we got up, went to the hospital, and within kind of about a week or so, I was diagnosed with cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow. Yeah. That's a pretty serious diagnosis to get at 17. What happened? Like, do you remember being told those words? Was your mum with you?
Yeah, we were. So I live in Drogheda. So I went into Drogheda, and then I was transferred to the Mater, and had kind of, they knew there was something bad. They told my mum and dad, but didn't tell me. And I was kind of like looking around like, oh yeah, I'm grand. Don't know what's going on. But then one day they sat me down and they were like, there's something wrong. We don't really know what it is. So I had all the tests and stuff. And so by that point I was in the Mater. And I remember one day it was me, my mum, my dad, my nanny, and the consultant and her nurse came in, and they were like, you have cancer. And I was like, what? Me? I'm too young. I didn't even think people that were that young could get sick. And it was really surreal. I really remembered that point. A lot of my treatment and kind of the year after is a bit of a blur, but I really remember sitting in the room. I remember everything about it.
Still now?
Yeah.
Clearly?
Yeah.
I suppose it was a real shock. I mean, that's probably why it's stuck in your head, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely. Mm. It was the last thing I was expecting.
So you're supposed to be heading into sixth year, mm-hmm. but instead you have to start getting treatment.
Yeah.
And what happens? What sort of treatment did you get? Did you have to have an operation?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed on the Monday, and I started chemo on the Wednesday because it was so, the pain had been there, the tumour was so big. So started treatment on the Wednesday. That went on for about 6 months or so. And then I had surgery, the tumour was in my chest. So I had surgery to remove what was left there. But what they removed, there was still traces of lymphoma. So I had radiotherapy then to kind of zap in, make sure it doesn't come back.
And, I suppose at that time where a lot of friends around, and it's probably, it's summertime mm-hmm. in school, so was there a lot of stuff going on that you were missing at the time, and were your friends in and out to see you and visit you?
Yeah, I think you really learn kind of who's there for you. And looking back, I know, you're so young, you don't think that's not where they are. They don't think, oh, you...
And it's hard, I think, isn't it?
I understand. Yeah, I do understand looking back. But I remember there'd be days, and one of my friends, she was like, it was a real sunny day and I was in hospital, and she says, she was supposed to come up, and she said, everyone's going to the beach today, so I'll come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I suppose that's normal.
It was probably very hurtful for you, mm-hmm. of course, at the time, but probably normal.
Yeah, she, no one thought any deal. Looking back now, I don't think any different of it. It's fine.
How long did you have to have chemotherapy for?
About 6 months. So I had it as an inpatient.
Were you in hospital for the whole time, or did you go in and out?
I would go in and out. Mm-hmm. So I was in for about 5 days, and then I'd go home for 2 weeks. But I was in twice a week over them 2 weeks for bloods and checkup.
And how did you feel? Were you sick with it?
I wasn't too bad. I was never sick, but I had joint pain, and I was really tired all the time. My mum still made sure I got out of bed every day and done something. So I was in a good frame of mind the whole time.
You mentioned your mum a few times, and there's a lovely picture. It was the journalist Elaine Guillaume that mm-hmm. you spoke to, and your picture was in the paper yesterday with your mum and your dad, and a gorgeous picture yeah. actually attached to the article. And you've got beautiful long black hair. It's a really gorgeous. But at the time, of course, you lost your hair through the chemo.
Yeah.
And what did your mum do to help you?
We both shaved our heads together. Yeah, in hospital. She says it wasn't even an option. She was always going to do it.
Did you know beforehand? Like, did they tell you that?
They told me I was going to lose it, yeah. And my dad had said, do you want to shave it? And I was like, no way, definitely not. And then I sat in bed and I was thinking, like, do I want to lose it? And I think it was the only thing I could control. So I was like, I told him to come in and I was like, no, I'll shave it.
Had it started to come out?
Yeah. No. It was very, like, oh, I done it really early. It came out about a week later. It had started to kind of grow back, but by the end of my treatment, like, I didn't have a hair on my head. I didn't even have nose hairs. It was really weird.
Your mum shaved her head as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that make you feel, your mum doing that?
I don't know. At the time, it was weird because we were in hospital for about 3 weeks, so it was fine. We were walking around and it was normal. And then I got discharged and she was like, we have to go out into the real world now. Yeah. What are we going to do? So it was strange, just the two of us walking around with no hair.
And did you cover it with you know, scarves or anything like that? Or?
I had a few scarves. I had wigs, but I didn't, like, I wasn't into it. I didn't mind walking around with no hair. It didn't really. Now, I saw people looking, but, like, I would probably look at somebody if I saw them. but...
Because I suppose when you're 17 and, mm-hmm. you know, when things like, I suppose, maybe clothes and hair is important
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
You can't, you're saying, like, you the way you're talking about it is though it wasn't that, you know, important. And was that, mm-hmm. is that because, I suppose, were you going in and out of hospital so much and you were having so much other stuff going on with you?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I would still, like, I still get caught up in what I look like now. And then I look back and think, I didn't even think about how I looked then. And, like, and I was happy in myself. So why am I getting so, you know, it puts everything into perspective for me, and I don't get too caught up in it.
You said that by the end of your treatment, you didn't have any hair at all.
No.
When did it start coming back then?
About 2 or 3 months after I finished treatment. So, like, a year after I was diagnosed, I had, like, a boy cut.
And what about your mum's hair?
Hers was, she kept it short.
Did she?
So she grew it, she grew it kind of like a pixie cut, mm-hmm. and kept it that way for a good while.
What's incredible here, Sarah, is that this is all going on. You're in and out of hospital having chemotherapy, and yet you went back and did your Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
So it was halfway through sixth year, really, that you were still having chemo. And yet you were still able to study? You were still able to do some homework?
I wouldn't say that. I would have been good in school before, and the hospital had asked me, do I want to defer? But I knew that if I did, I wouldn't go back. I wasn't mad about school. So I was doing all higher level. I said, I want to do a PLC when I finished. So I said, look, I'll just drop to ordinary level. Go in, do it, see what happens. I wasn't expecting much. So
did you go into school at all during sixth year?
Any day I could go in, I went in, but it was days like a trip or, you know, when there was something on. Other days I didn't really bother because I was missing so much, mm-hmm. that it didn't, or I was in hospital or there was just so much going on that.
But by the time it comes around to June and the Leaving Cert starts, you actually sit and you actually take the exams yourself. Like, that's incredible to think that even though you're completely detached from school, you haven't been going in and out, you haven't been doing any of the study, you go in and you sit your Leaving Cert exam.
Yeah. I don't even know how, like, and to pass, I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, you passed.
Yeah.
You got a couple of 100 points. Yeah, I mean, incredible. Yeah. But do you remember sort of taking the exams? Were you at this point, had the chemotherapy finished by the time it came around to the summer?
Yeah, I had the chemotherapy finished. I had the surgery finished. And then, so between the surgery and the radiotherapy, I'd done my Leaving Cert. I just kind of went in and done it. I say, it was kind of a break from all the other madness that was going on around it.
So it was like almost a distraction for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible because, you know, when I think back to my Leaving Cert, and I'm sure other people have been doing the Leaving Cert, it is the big focus. It is the one thing. So do you think it was good for you to do then, looking back?
Yeah. It may... I don't get too caught up in stuff now. I knew at the time that it was my best and I knew that I had tried my best. So I think going forward, I always knew that once I was doing what I knew I could, that was enough.
And then you ended up getting your points. Did you go on and do your PLC course?
Yeah, I done pre-nursing. I originally thought I wanted to be a nurse, but I was more into the theory side of it. Mm-hmm. So I went and done health and society in DCU.
And you have now got your first class honours degree from DCU and you will be graduating in November this year. Sarah O'Neill, fantastic. I mean, how, you know, going back and doing your degree, did you say to people when you met them on the degree course, you said, by the way, you know, I had cancer, to have chemo when I was having my leaving.
When I look back the first day in DCU, everyone was adding people on each other on Facebook and I actually went onto my Facebook page and like deleted or untagged the photos of me when I was sick. And then now by second year, kind of everybody knew it had come out in some way. But now I look back and I go, why did I feel like I had to do that? But it's not like a conversation that you have with people. Like, I'm quite open about it, so a lot of people know. But when you go to a new place, you don't just say, oh, hi, by the way. So it was weird, but I don't think I do that again. Like, I'm comfortable enough now to, if someone saw, I'm doing a personal training course and like I have my Instagram and stuff and people would follow me and they just know because I post about it, you know.
But it's totally understandable, I think, why you wouldn't want that to be your defining, you know, thing.
Yeah.
That you don't want to be, oh, cancer survivor or I had cancer, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally understandable.
Yeah.
How was the degree? Was it a couple of years, the degree course?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
And how did you find it?
I loved it.
And how was your health all the way through that?
It was good. I still struggle now, pain and, you know, just the side effects from it all. And I suffer quite bad with fatigue, I find. Sometimes, especially when I'm coming up to exams or assignments and stuff. But overall, I'm quite good. It's hard because you don't really... I think anybody that has kind of had cancer will understand you get a pain and you're thinking, oh, what's that? You know, is that just a headache or is that something else? And it's kind of knowing how to look out and differentiate between the two.
Because would you be worried that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... My mom knows. If I tell my mom something, she knows it's bad. Because I keep everything else, like any, if I'm sick or don't feel well. So she knows when I tell her that it's serious.
Do you go back for checkups?
Yeah, I'm 6 months now still. Every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And what's the long term then? I mean, will it continue to be every 6 months or will that eventually go to 12 months?
Yeah, it will push out. I think because I had so much treatment, some of my scans show activity, but it's just not like it's expected. So they're still keeping a close eye. Eventually it will kind of be a year. Because I had radiotherapy on my chest, I will probably go into breast screening in the next few years.
Earlier than women normally would. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good job because that'll keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
We should point out, you mentioned there that you're doing fitness training, that you're actually working at the moment as a personal fitness trainer.
Well, just about to start.
Okay, just about to start. Good, good. And that you were actually very fit and healthy before you got the cancer. Were you quite sporty or was it fitness that you were into?
No, I was never good at sports. I tried everything and never, but I always loved the gym. I done classes. And I was, before I got sick, I was in the gym 3 or 4 times a week and fell out of it while I was going through treatment and stuff. And it took me about a year or two to get the confidence to go back. I'm there now 2.5 years and yeah, I just love it.
And would you go to the gym every day now? Or
most days.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why do you want to go into fitness training? You know, why do you want to help people?
I always wanted to do it before. And then I think now just seeing how much it has helped me, like, I'd feel the strongest I've been mentally and physically, and I would put it down to exercise and, you know, looking after myself. And I think that sometimes people forget how good you can feel and should feel. So I kind of want to share that.
And so the degree then is obviously helping you, and it's backing you up with that. So you've done the health and science degree from DCU. So you're hoping to kind of combine the two. And is that what you're going to do now for your career?
So the health and society degree was, it's, I think, about a holistic view of health, that it's not just one thing or how to look after yourself. And like, it's so broad and there's so many things that should be taken into consideration, as well as, you know, being active, going out, even and doing something that you enjoy. Like, not everybody wants to sit in the gym. Not everybody wants to go for a run, but finding what you like that is your time to for yourself.
You, and I don't want to sound in any way, I don't know how I want to sound, but Sarah, you're 22 and you have a very mature head on your shoulders. And I just think of myself as a 22-year-old.
I know.
And look, I wasn't able to put myself together like you are able to describe and talk about feelings and mental health and physical health. Were you like that before, do you think, or did the cancer and what you went through make you change your perspective or have a different perspective on life?
Yeah, I was a little bit. I'm the oldest, so I think I did have a little bit of that in me, but definitely when I got sick and even the whole thing with my friends and, you know, school and my future, it just put everything in perspective for me. And yeah, I definitely grew up. People are like, I look like I'm 12 and I act like I'm 40.
That's not a bad day. Actually, no, you want it the other way around, don't you? No, you do. You want to look, mature. Mature, that's right. Be mature in your head, but look young. And I hope that continues for Sarah. I'm sure it will, because like, you've got such a good, healthy perspective.
Yeah.
But you said you're the eldest, so how many younger brothers?
Two younger brothers.
And was that difficult for them then, watching you being sick?
Yeah.
What's the age difference there?
So I'm 22, one of my brothers is 19 and the other is 11. So it was hard for the 11-year-old, Luke. He kind of didn't really understand it. I remember when I came home and I had no hair, all his friends on the road were like, is that contagious? Like, is my hair going to...
Yeah.
So they didn't, but he was very good still. Like, he didn't understand, but he knew there was something. Mm. So he was really good to me. My other brother, I think he struggled as well. He's a runner. So he would just go on 2-hour runs a day. I think
that's how he struggled. Listen, yeah. Sarah, it's fantastic to hear your story. And thank you so much for coming in this morning. Gladys has just been on touch on a text. Sarah is an inspiration. Mm. Strong girl. Well done.
Thanks very much.
And indeed, we agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll just give out a couple of lines just in case people are affected by anything we talked about. The Irish Cancer Society, their free phone is 1-800 200 700. And the Childhood Cancer Foundation, another good one as well, 01-554-5655. And of course, all the helplines are on our website, rte.ie. Sarah, best of luck with the fitness.
Thank you.
And I hope it goes well. And I look forward to seeing a graduation photo maybe of you in November.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break.